Can everyone hear me now? Okay, thanks so much. So happy I'm here. Didn't feel that way for a long time. Wasn't happy about, certainly wasn't happy about being a debtor or an addict. You know, it's so funny, I came into the room and there was just a mic in the middle of the floor. A plain mic, but this one. And it shocked me because I went to the meeting this morning in hiding. And my first thought is, where's the podium? You know, I need to be behind something. You know, so how it is. Yeah, and my name is Rose. I'm a recovering debtor. Hi, fellows. And someone said about, you know, telling your story, and I thought, Mike, so I got, you know, different feelings about it. Someone else says, when are you going to sign off on your story? It's interesting, but it's not going to get you well. You know, so, and I think because before I came to DA, I was in Al-Anon, and I had one of those four-star soap opera stories there. And then I came to Debtors Anonymous, and I didn't have any of the much drama. Of course, I've been a debtor as long as I can remember. I never had enough money. I never had, as far as I was concerned, I never had enough of anything. You know, I didn't have enough brains. I didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough anything. Whatever it is, my reading was, I didn't have enough of it. You know, I wasn't enough, and I didn't have enough. And it's all untrue. It's untrue for me. It's untrue for everybody else. Everybody else has absolutely everything they need. Absolutely everything you need, you have already. I think it's about getting in touch with it and releasing it. This is my second trip to DA. The first time I came and I stayed a few weeks, and I love three-word answers. You know, I've got it. And I stayed a few weeks and I thought I got it, like, more in than out. That's the whole principle, you know. And that is a principle in DA. More has to come in before than you let out. But that wasn't the only thing. So things got worse in a short time, and I came back. And my impression of DA, I was so terrified of the people. I was so afraid of them. And at the same time, I just thought, they are so smart. They are so smart, you know. But they are so scary, you know. And a few years ago, someone said, I was scared of you when I came. So comes around, you know. So since I was self-employed, my biggest problem was the taxes and paying the government what was due. And even lying, cheating, stealing, I couldn't do it, you know. I was keeping my numbers before I came into DA, but I was keeping the number, I'll tell you what numbers I was keeping. I was keeping the numbers of what went into my tax account so that I would report it to the government. But if I could find any way to get money that didn't hit my tax account, that didn't have my name involved with it somehow, that those were the records I was keeping. What was mine, and what was mine? Crazy, but that's what I was doing. In fact, as my therapist said, Rose, using your brains in the service of your neurosis? I thought, of course, that's what I'm for. You know, so what I have to say about the second time I stayed and had difficulty getting. I was 57 when I came to DA, so not that it means anything, but it just means it doesn't matter when you come, it doesn't matter where you show up at, and it doesn't matter. It's like it's already taken care of. The only thing you have to do is go. Just show up. Half the deal in life, in everything, is just showing up. Just showing up. You don't really have to do much more than that, you know? So, having a pressure meeting. You know, it's all very scary. It's so scary about meeting with people, talking about money. My first pressure meeting was years ago in the Tiffany Diner, and I was ordering coffee. Not that I wasn't hungry. I didn't have money to pay for a meal, so I was having coffee, you know? That's the story of, and trying to look. I think I spoke to someone just this last week, and I said to him, I know him from GA, I think you're so smart and so recovered. And he says, I put on a good front. And I thought, well, don't we all? Isn't that the story? Especially in trying to look good, you know, no money and in debt, but trying to look good. I think that's the deal in the GA. So that's the deal of the disorder. That's the deal of the disorder. Not being honest about who I am and how I am and what's really real, you know? Trying to look good. So, just wanted to say, how am I doing with time, Allison?
You have 14 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I spoke to someone this week about, you know, someone had asked me to speak weeks ago, and I said yes, and since then I've been thinking, why the hell did I ever say I would do it? Why did I say I would do it? But, you know, I said I would do it because, you know, because it's the right thing to do, and to do what you're asked to do. And then I was very sick last week, and I thought, maybe I'll be hospitalized, you know, it's like, yeah. I say yes, but maybe I can get out of it. And so one of my things, too, is I like to look good when I'm in my illness. You know, I could be sick. I mean, really mentally ill, but, you know, try to look good at the same time. You know, it's very important, very important. So it's about letting go of all of that. Just letting things be. In the first step in the 12 and 12, it says, you know, if we'd looked at our history, you know, years back would show us that we'd had a problem with, before our realization of our, they're talking about the alcohol problem, but years before, this was just not a habit. It's become a progressive disorder, you know? And years before, I was always in trouble with money. And, you know, so much older, when coffee was 10 cents, I had 9. And, you know, years ago on the New York City bus system, the coffee was 13 cents. And they had this big machine, all the coins would go in it. You know, and I got on the bus, I had 12. So I said to the driver, as quiet, as sort of voice as possible, could I ride for 12 cents? And he's got the machine going, he's making all this noise. He says, what'd you say? I couldn't say it again. I said it once, I couldn't say it again, you know? So some guy hands behind me, puts a penny in my hand. But, you know, that's just how this disorder is. That's just how this disorder is. It's like, then as I go on in it, larger amounts of money that I don't have, you know? Years ago, long before I came to DA, I owed the government like $200, you know? I didn't have $200, so I just threw the form away. You know, I went to the tax guy, he did it, you know, and I look good, I'm going to the tax man, getting my taxes filed, right? But I didn't have the money, so I threw the form away. And just, you know, dealt with that later, you know. Things get worse. That's the progression. The progression, there's, recovery is progressive too, you know what I mean? I'm not the person I was weeks ago, I'm not the person I was months ago. Recovery is progressive, as the disease is progressive, you know? And there's, you know, it's so much about the mind, the thinking, the disorder. There's a disorder, you know. The big book says, you know, resentment is the cause of spiritual malady. It says self-centered fear is the cause. Someone else says that a sense of separation from your creator is the cause. Probably all of them are the cause. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't. What the cause is doesn't matter. What it just matters is what I'm going to do to really heal from this malady that I have. I love Bill use the word malady a lot. You know, certainly maladaption to this existence, to this life, and to dealing with money. You know, so. One of the thing in the big book, it's beautiful on the back of it, is, and it, you have to get to the back to read it, it says that they have the answer. They absolutely say that they have the answer to every problem I will meet today. They absolutely say that they have the answer. And they said, acceptance. Acceptance is the answer to every problem I have today. Every problem. It doesn't say approval. It doesn't say appreciation. It doesn't say anything about what the problem is. It just talks about not resisting it, not fighting it, just accepting it. Accepting it. And accepting the fact of the, that I have got it. And I know someone else who says, whatever you can be with can be transformed. Whatever I'm willing to be with can be changed. Doesn't mean that I can change it, but it means that there's a spiritual program here. And that a power greater than myself, not me, but a power greater than myself can change it. There's a certain amount of willingness that's needed. And am I willing? And this person that I heard a couple of weeks ago said, you know, would I dare to be not damaged? You know, would I dare to be? My God, I don't know. But even the thought makes me stop and think, would I dare to be? You know, I've been posing lots of ways as damaged for a long, long time. And maybe some of them were true, but that was a long time ago. And a lot of things have changed. But it's a great thought. It's a great question. Would I dare to be? Would I dare to be who I was created to be instead of what I've created? Would I dare to be? You know? By myself, I can't. Am I willing to? Am I willing to step up to that? We have a will, and we can do two things with it. We can assert it. I know how to do that. Not very well, but I've done it. And or I can surrender it. You know, that's what I have the choices with my will. I can assert it or I can surrender it. You know, and I don't have to surrender it to, you know, to the crazy figures I've had in my life. I surrender it to a power greater than myself. So and let things change from that view. So Chinese master, and I've been reading some of his stuff. He's so very wise, and he says he has three jewels, and I thought, well, if he thinks these things are jewels, they must be pretty important. And the first one he said is mercy, you know? And I think of the very first 12-step phone call I made many years ago. It was long before I came to TA, and I called up a lady, and I was in Al-Anon, you know, a couple of weeks, but I knew what I was going to do, what I was planning to do, was the absolutely antithesis of what they were saying in that room. So I called up this lady. I don't know why. Well, I know I called her because of the grace of God. But I called up this lady, and I spoke to her, and she said, her answer was, I can't tell you what to do, but whatever you do, I'll talk to you Tuesday night. That's so wonderful, because it meant I could go back. Because what I would do in the past is I would not go back, because I would feel guilt, you know, guilt or shame. The two silent killers, guilt and shame, you know, and they keep us from life, from living life. And to extend mercy. To extend mercy to myself for what I've created with my illness, the wounds I've created, the harms I've done. Extend mercy to others. I got news for you. Everyone's in the same, we're all on the same bus here, kids, you know? We're all just varying shades of the same. Thomas More this may sound awful to some people, but I love it. He said, and he was going to his death, he said, "We're all in the executioner's cart on the way to execution. Who could be angry or upset with another?" You know, so, but it's like, this is where we are. Frankly, I think we're, truthfully, we're all in a mess, you know, varying degrees of, thanks so much, of in a mess or getting out of a mess. And the second treasure he spoke about was frugality. Now, that's not a word that appeals to me, frugality, you know, but, you know, but I think it really means living within what you've got, living with what you've got. And I retired 5 years ago, almost six. And I don't have what I used to have anyway. So I do live a deprivation. To me, I live a deprivation lifestyle. Someone says, "Well, just discuss that with someone in Afghanistan." You want to discuss your deprivation lifestyle with someone in Afghanistan? You know, but this is where I am. You know, but you know, but. I'm not working, so I live on what I have, and I make do with what I have, and I through the grace of God don't debt. Through the grace of God, by myself I don't have that capacity. In fact, just a couple of years ago, I was thinking, if I only had a credit card, but I don't have a credit card, and thank God I don't. And the third treasure is humility. And what happened? And humility is another beautiful quality. It says priceless in the book. It says priceless. Wednesday night, I was going to sit on the PRG at 5:30 over on West 31st Street, and I was talking to some ladies before the meeting, and I saw someone go down the stairs. Someone I owe an amend to for many, many months. But I wasn't going to the first meeting. I was sitting on the PRG at 5:30. And when the PRG finished, I said to the pressure man, I said, "You know, there's someone in that room that I owe an amend to." He said, "Well, you could go out the 30th Street exit." And don't think I didn't think of it, because I was talking, of course we're always talking to ourselves, you know, it's a big conversation going on, you know, constantly. So I really didn't know what I was going to do, because like the pain, talk about humility, the pain, the embarrassment of going to someone and owning up to having been crappy. So, or just didn't hold up my end. And I went into the room. It was a lot of people milling around. I started talking to someone else. See, because I still want to look good when I'm sick. I started talking to someone and said, "Oh, I came in here because I have to make an amend to somebody." And they're saying, "Oh, you know, like it's a good thing." Of course, I'm not going around making the amend. I'm talking to someone else about it, you know. And then I couldn't find the person. But I called them the next day. And still want to look good. I said, "You know, I did go into the meeting looking for you." I was like, "I mean, how honest do you want to get? You know, like, how?" So, but I did make the amend, and we had a nice conversation, you know. But that's you know, it's growth, the humility to do that. But, you know, taking on the humility part doesn't always feel so comfortable. But I feel so much more comfortable with myself. I don't have to dodge that person. I don't have to cross the street when I see them coming. I don't have to feel uncomfortable at a meeting, you know. Just so I'm so glad for that. And before signing off, I want to thank. Years ago, I met a nun, and she was with the order from Mother Teresa. You know, they always look like a dish towel on their head, you know. So, and her name was Sister Anna Weem. I never heard of the word. And the word means the little ones. Thanks. The little ones means like the ones who pick the fruit that we eat, the ones we never see. People we never see, you know? And I always think of that when I'm going by a grocery store and I see a little guy carrying up a carton or something, you know? I'm walking by and I see a guy coming up the stairs and I think the Anna Weem. And I'm not saying this in a sense because in the sense of anonymity, everyone's an equal. You come in, you're equal. There's no one better, there's no one greater, there's no one lesser. This is all a group of debtors, you know? And but like the people who put this on, who cared enough about the fellowship to have it, who got here early, you know, who ran workshops, who the people we don't know, the people who won't know their names, who don't see what they do, we don't know what energy they put out. But I really would like, you know, just to give a recognition to all those things.